Hello and welcome everyone to another succulent episode of the Seven Bells podcast, where we read chapter by chapter through the Old Kingdom series by Garth Nix. I'm your host, Alex. I'm joined by my co-host, Zach.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, Zach. How are you?
Good. I just got my first succulent, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was free at the food bank. So.
Nice. What kind of succulent?
I have no idea.
What does it look like?
Kind of looks like an aloe plant. It's got big, broad, you know...
fleshy lobes.
Kinda, yeah.
Yum.
I don't know. It was free in the you know, little vase it's in, and it says always tired, and it's got a sleeping dog on it.
I love it.
I could see why it was free.
Yeah. My manager put up a sign today that says live, laugh, litter. Because I work at a pet store. It's wonderful. That's
lovely. Could also be misconstrued if it was placed
anywhere
on the
else.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. Yes. The show we're doing. Doing a show. Ha ha.
Yeah, you know, we've only done nearly 100 plus episodes.
And yet it still feels like the first time. Like we don't know what we're doing.
First time.
Welcome to the pod, everybody. Today we're covering chapter 2 of Golden Hand.
Yes.
After long last. But before we get into it, please send us your thoughts, opinions, critiques at our email, sevenbellspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
We have not received any emails this week.
No, but you can also hit us up on Instagram at sevenbellspodcast.
Oh, that's right. That thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Meta. Right.
Yeah. You know, you've listened to the show before.
Yeah, you guys
know all
what
the things. And if you don't know all the things, go listen to Lyreal and
yeah.
Get all that stuff there. Skip over the last 9 months.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
There's a little book called Clarial. You don't need to hear about
that.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine.
Unless you want to listen to our misery, which actually I find kind of funny. But you
yeah,
know.
I enjoy it. You know, I do, as I said before, I do listen to every episode just
as
for quality assurance. And yet it has not gotten better.
I'm doing my best.
Well, you know, you can't edit a turd.
You sure can't.
Anyway, yes. So while we have not received any emails, I did put out a call for votes on how we're going to do the next book,
yes.
Curseal and Eleanor. And we'll still take considerations and votes, I guess.
Yeah.
So far we have a couple votes for us both going in blind.
Right. Changing
we have
up the format.
One vote for keeping the format.
Correct.
And then one vote for
the wild card.
Reversing the format and having Zach read it and I go in blind.
Yeah, which is interesting.
It is interesting. I am not leaning towards that one myself. We're probably going to both go in blind.
It seems like that's the consensus that...
So far. Let me just put a big caveat. So far. Oh, this is the worst day of my life. This is the worst day of your life. So far.
Simpsons movie.
Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to cast your vote on how we're going to handle the format for the next book, yeah, you can reach us.
Drop us a line.
Yeah.
Shout us a out. Out us a shout. Shout out.
Slide into those DMs.
Slide right into sexy negligee of my DMs.
Hot stuff. I wear an old Randy Garfield tee.
I wear a t-shirt that's like long enough to like hang and cover everything, mm-hmm. but I've cut out a big hole.
Just right where the good stuff is.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you probably didn't need to cut the hole in the back, too.
Ease of access. What can I say? I am Mormon.
No, we'll just get you one of those pair of long johns with the butt flap.
I have one of those, actually. What's funny is that it's not, it doesn't actually have a butt flap like that buttons on the, like, the upper buttock that folds down. It has this, it just like splits in the crotch.
Interesting.
So like it's I don't
just for your bits to hang out.
Yeah, you know, you could just anyway.
Huh.
I found out today, not found out, but I discovered today that probably the most uncomfortable like invitation you could get from someone in the mail, like, "Oh, come to this event."
My bear party.
No, my adult bris.
Woof. didn't see that coming.
Exactly.
What? I have so many questions.
Yes, I was talking to my manager at work about this.
No, so this is a real thing that has happened.
No, not to me. No, but it's just like, what would be the worst thing you could be invited to? Like, oh honey, we got an invite from Steven. You remember Steven? Yeah. He converted recently. Yeah. Oh, I wonder what this is for. Oh no. What is it, honey?
It's a little card in shape of scissors.
It's like the joke where this guy needs his watch repaired, so he goes into this shop with a bunch of clocks in the window. He's like, hey, I need my watch repaired. And the guy says, I don't repair watches. I'm a moil. I perform circumcisions. And the guy says, well, you have a bunch of clocks in your window. And the guy says, tell me, what should I put in my window? Anyway, see, yes, let's just snip this tangent off at the head.
Indeed.
And get into it. Hey, it's mine and I want it back.
You just snip the tip. One of my favorite parts of Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I've never actually seen it all the way through.
Oh, it's my favorite Mel Brooks movie.
Is it similar to Spaceballs?
No. Okay. Well, I mean, they're all kinds of, they're Mel Brooks movies.
Sure, sure.
In that sense, yes, but in, because I know you don't like Spaceballs.
I don't like Spaceballs, but I don't know if, like, if Men in Tights, from what I have seen, Men in Tights, it doesn't really grab me, and I can't figure out if that is something that it has in common with Spaceballs in terms of humor.
Interesting.
That Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein and Silent Movie and even High Anxiety don't have.
Maybe you just don't like his later work because, yeah, Spaceballs was in the 80s and...
What about Dracula, Dead and Loving It?
This man needs an enema!
Jesus. Okay, where are we? What are we? Who are we? When are we? And why are we?
I don't know. That's too existential for me.
How are we? I'm great. How are you?
I just work here.
Okay. All right. Thank you to Charlotte, yes. Maya, Patrick, William, Sam, Lindsay, Anna Lisette, and Allie for being our $10 patrons on Patreon. And thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. And if you too want your name read on the podcast in every single piece
every
of
single
media
thing
we create,
do.
You can go to patreon.com/7bellspodcast.
Indeed.
And for as little as $10 a month.
$10 dollary dues for That's those in Australia.
Dollary do.
Dollary do.
900 dollary do's. Tobias! I've had a lot of coffee today.
So. I've had so much caffeine. I've had a coffee and an energy drink and a Diet Dr. Pepper and a Diet Coke at lunch.
Ooh,
I am
you.
Fucking amped.
God, last time I volunteered at the food bank, we got in this coffee concentrate.
Oh, no.
From Stumptown. It's like cold brew.
Mm-hmm.
And I watered it down.
Chugged it. Boofed it.
Boofer. No, I watered it down, but I had to made the mistake of having two cups, and I was like...
Levitating?
I was a human drum solo. I was the song Wipeout for the whole day.
Jesus Christ.
To the point I had an anxiety attack when I got to work.
Oh, no.
Because I volunteer in the morning and then go to my regular job. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a horrible anxiety attack at work.
Oh, God. That sucks. I'm sorry.
I mean, it was my own fault. Once I'd realized what happened.
Right.
Now that I overcaffeinated myself.
Why am I afraid of dying? Not afraid of death. Afraid of dying. Right now.
Right now. My heart hurts. My left eye won't stop twitching.
Why does my skin feel tight?
I can hear my hair growing.
Okay.
Yes, little as $10 a month.
Yes. $5 a month gets you access to our bonus show, Short Story Long, where we talk about short stories we have read and sometimes other things like movies, maybe poetry. Who knows?
Yeah. Whatever bullshit we feel like.
Exactly.
We might talk about a video game.
Anyway, it has been 15 minutes.
Far too long.
Fuck. Okay, let's get into this.
Sure.
Last episode, we covered chapter one of Golden Hand.
We sure did.
In which a super sexy, hot young thing, nomad, happens
according
upon...
According to the guards, woman.
Yeah. comes up to the greenwash bridge on the north side and is like, hey guys, can I come in? I have a message for the Claire in the glacier. And they're like, no, fuck you. And she's like, really? Pretty please? And they're no, also there's more nomads coming up behind you. And so it's a trap. And she's like, what? And then they have a wood weird.
Yes.
And a shaman on a chain. Because that's what you do.
Sure.
And she kills the wood weird with her spirit glass arrow, which is a new introduction. And then the guards are like, oops, I guess we should have listened to her the first time. Anyway.
Probably should have shot her also.
Double oops. And that's chapter one.
It sure is.
On to chapter two!
Chapter two!
Okay, chapter two is a bit of a doozy.
Not quite I wouldn't call it a recap, but it's a reintroduction.
It's the chapter two, like in Harry Potter, when every book is like, Harry Potter was a wizard who lived with assholes and was abused until he got to wizards. And you're like, yes, it's book five.
I'm well aware of it.
Well aware. I know people start with random books and it's weird. But some people do it.
But,
hey. Whatever. I'm not going to use a phrase I fucking hate. I'm not going to yuck your yum. Mm. I just hate it.
Well, you should really start adulting, Alex.
Ugh, God. Hate that one, too.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's called being an adult. It's like, I don't want to become an adult, so I'm going to make up childish words for being an adult so I can continue to feel like I'm a kid, even though I have responsibilities to myself and many people around me.
That's called denial.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. I have opinions about things.
Hot take corner. Hot take Alex.
That's the thing. It's like, I consider myself a reasonable person, but I have strong opinions about a lot of things. Just people are like, what's your thoughts on this? I'm like, oh, let me tell you.
Oh, that's fucking garbage. Don't get me started on that.
So, tangent time. My manager... was like, yeah, so my customer said that she had just saw David Sedaris live, and he said, you know, to all these, Gen Z kids, my advice is to just pick one thing to be offended about at a time.
It's a very boomer opinion.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, that is an extremely boomer take. And she's like, well, I'm just saying that that's what the customer said. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
We weren't insulting
you. I'm not insulting
you.
It was not directed at you. No, but I do this podcast, you see, and we've read some David Sedaris.
We've read a lot of David Sedaris at this point.
And I kind of unpacked my thoughts on my adult experience with David Sedaris.
Sure.
Not my adult experience, but my experience with his work as an adult.
Right.
And how it changed over time, and how saying to the young people, just choose one thing to be offended about at a time, is basically like, hey, kids, you shouldn't care about things.
Stop
caring so much, which I think
it's exhausting
boomers
for me.
Boomers need to care about more things. Mm. I think, long story short, older people are exhausted.
Yes.
And younger people have boundless energy.
And they're also discovering new things.
They're discovering new things. And the old people are saying to the young people, you think you invented XYZ. You're caring about too much stuff. Stop it.
Yeah.
And the young people are like, you don't care about anything. You're a soulless husk and you should die already. I'm of the opinion that perhaps we should meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe, like,
maybe
you know,
both of us.
The young people should realize that with age also comes not apathy, but context.
I've certainly mellowed out.
Experience.
Yes.
And old people need to try to keep a hold of something that they actually give a fuck about,
and
preferably something that doesn't harm other people.
Right. And remember what it's like to be a younger person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. I have opinions about stuff.
Yes. We all do.
Yeah. Now, people have said, like, oh, ask Alex about X thing. He'll have an opinion. I was like, ouch, but you're You're right.
How dare you?
I've never been more offended about something I 100% agree with.
That's hard when someone nails that bullseye right in the middle.
Man. Okay.
So chapter two.
Chapter two. Chapter two. Take three.
You're right.
So this chapter is basically your introduction to Lyriel in the royal family. It opens with the message hawk arriving at the message hawk muse to Mistress Finley.
Yeah.
Who, so glad this isn't a J.K. Rowling book, because her name would be like Madam Finch or something.
Right, some stupid. Lady Hawk.
Yeah. this woman is the mistress of the Hawk's Muse and receives a message. She receives two message hawks, one from the south and one from the north.
Yes.
And the one from the south is like, hey, y'all. Sorry.
Brought a cup of sweet tea.
So the one from the south says message from Magistrix Coel at Wyverly College.
Yeah.
And it says, hey, this is messages to the Ebhorsen. This is Magistrix Coel. I just received a telegram from Nick Sayer. And it says, and then she reads the telegram in the message hawk voice, and she just reads the telegrams. So a dangerous Nicholas Sayer at Dorrance Hall, stop. Dangerous free magic creature, stop. Send help.
Yeah.
Sent from here, end. Anyway, Dorrance Hall is several hundred miles south of here, so there's no way the free magic creature that could be unless happening. There's... And it just cuts off because message hawks have a very short tape loop.
Yeah, I like the bit of a lore dump we get here, mm-hmm. about how message hawks work, mm-hmm. and kind of you can tell the difference between them, and we get a little bit of like how some of them were raised, and yeah. some have more memory than others, mm-hmm. like an iPhone versus an iPod, first yeah. gen.
This message hawk obviously is an iPod Shuffle. not the like useful ones that clip on your clothing, but the little ones that look like a little
the nano. Yeah, those pieces of shit. Where you couldn't select a song, you just basically hit shuffle.
Yeah, but they originally looked like a little thumb drive, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one that would clip on.
No, it was even before that one. There was like the iPod Shuffle that was before, like the there was that little clip one with the round circle. That was like second or third
gen. That's
the nano. Then the iPod Shuffle was way early, and it looked like a little fucking pregnancy test.
Yeah, you're right. I do recall this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ancient technology.
Ancient.
Back in my day.
God, I loved my fucking iPod.
I had an iPod Video.
I did too. It was great.
Cool. I had 160 gigs, and it was almost full. And I had a bunch of stuff that is out of print that I cannot get anywhere.
I still have my old iPod from high school. It still works.
I corrupted mine and lost everything, but all it said it was still full of stuff, but I couldn't access it.
It's all corrupted data.
But I wanted to go through the back end and like try to pull the files off that way, and now I can't find it.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah.
Well, I could at the time, but then I lost it. I don't know where it lost in a move, and I'm sad. Anyway, none of this is important.
Mine was full of Simpsons episodes.
I'm sure it was.
It was Simpsons audio, because I would just listen to the episodes.
Colossal dork.
I sure
Please
was.
Don't change.
It was the first podcast.
I had Maria Bamford's special on it.
Mm.
I had Spirited Away on it, and I had 2001 A Space Odyssey, I think,
damn,
on it.
I just had a bunch of Aqua Teen Hunger Force episodes.
Well, those were just the movies I had. I had a bunch of like small videos and clips and stuff, but yeah. Most of it was podcasts and music.
Yeah.
Just lots and lots of music.
Anyway,
yes, and then she gets another, she says, go fetch Lyriel, because she needs to hear this.
She sent a 7-year-old to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, reliable.
Exactly, child labor. and then, that's another side note about Roblox and child labor. That's a whole fun thing. Anyway, remind me in a minute and I'll
sure.
get to it. And then the other message hawk is from the north, message for the king. And this assistant is like, this is messages for the king. She's like, cool, go get Prince Samith. He's like, or go get Elamir. Saw her at breakfast. She's coming up anyway. Just put it on her spike, which is a nice way of like organizing it. Like, this spike is Elamir's spike. All messages for Elamir go on this spike.
Yeah, it's like a diner when they finish a ticket for an order.
Exactly. Yeah. What's funny is, like, I don't know, I expected, like, a tray or, like, a box more than, like, just a spike.
A spike on the wall. Yeah, that seems a bit,
Especially because paper is now, like, now more of a thing because King Touchstone during the Reformation got mills up and working again. So
one of the
paper,
first things he did. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, paper, hey, it's useful. We should use it for, for ledgers and
communications
and
important.
Commerce and all this stuff.
Yeah. No, there's a ton of good lore in this chapter.
Yeah. And he's like, well, why don't we give it to the king? She's like, does no one pay attention around here?
Jesus.
It's now time for your regularly scheduled exposition dump. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, the king and the Abhorsen are on holiday.
Yeah. They're first.
They're first ever, because they work hard.
Yeah. You should learn something from that.
Yes. So they are vacationing on the island of Ilgard, which I never noticed as being a thing, so I had to go back and look at the map from a previous two books ago. Yeah, it is there. I just never noticed it. I was like, has that always been there?
I mean, I didn't even notice until you brought it up, so good on me, and I'm the map guy.
Exactly. Ilgard is a island that is right on the other side of the Belus Mouth.
Mm.
So yeah, fun fact.
So they're not going far, but it's enough of a getaway.
Yeah, it's enough of a getaway. Yeah, so they're out of the picture. Probably gonna go fuck or whatever.
Hot.
Yeah. more likely, they're like, let's. We could fuck or we could nap.
We could nap. Yeah. I mean, they're parents and have jobs.
Yeah. They're like, I'm gonna sleep. Sounds good to me. Lyriel shows up.
She was
have
in
a whole
Sam's room.
Yes,
getting her hand worked
her
on,
hand fitted. And it goes into a whole thing about how it's excellently made because he is truly a wall maker. And there's all these. He definitely put a hat on a hat where he like charter spelled it so that it felt like flesh and looked like flesh. Then he added another layer of charter spells on top to make it glow faintly, which
glow
would like that's like
why
you hear it and you're immediately like that would keep me awake at night.
That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah,
just like a faint glow because I always put an arm under my pillow when I sleep. So it's just imagining that just.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing I could imagine it working for is, like, if you wanted to read late at night, you would just, like, put your finger under the words.
A faint, like,
Yeah.
But even that, it's like trying to read by the fucking glow on your watch. You could do it.
Yeah, no. So she's like, she like teased out the charter spell, and she's like, I'm gonna take that out. Hopefully, it won't hurt his feelings too bad. That's what you just be like, hey Sam, this keeps me awake at night. Would you? Could you? I really like the thought, but it's like, here's a problem.
This isn't good for stealth.
It isn't good for stealth, and I think it makes me stand out more than I would like.
Yeah.
And while I appreciate it,
this is where we get the titular golden hand.
Yes, Illyriel Golden Hand,
which I think is a rad name.
Yeah, she's like, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like cool things or like. Yeah.
Well, she doesn't like
explosions
attention.
Or tits. I don't know.
Big fat ass, 10 feet of ass,
10 feet of ass.
Been a minute.
It has. Yeah, she doesn't like things that are good and awesome. So, sorry, I'm confusing her for Clarial. She doesn't like the name because she finds it conspicuous.
Yeah, she likes to blend in and not stand out.
She's an introvert. She doesn't like being around all these people.
Yes.
Especially, like, going from a hermit librarian to a world-saving heroine.
Famous person.
A famous
Abhorsen
in waiting to, like, a member of the royal family in the capital helping things run. Like, that's quite the shift.
Yeah, that's a world shift.
Yeah, and she's missing her dog,
yeah,
which is sad. Anyway, all this is to say, she comes up to the message hawk muse and reads the letter, and she's like, that's fucking weird. I'm going to go check that out.
Because I need a distraction.
Because I need a distraction. Also, sounds like a big BFD, so I'm going to go do that. Also, Nick is there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So she starts running down the stairs and runs. What?
No.
What?
Can't.
Say it. Edit it out.
Gonna give him a golden hand job.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Give him the golden hand. That's what came.
Anyway.
Glad you could read it on my face.
That look of like, I shan't. No, you shall.
Well, it goes against her. I don't want to sexualize our characters, but sometimes it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway, they're adults. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a children's book. Yeah, it's cool. Just carry on. Carry on. Nothing to see here. Anyway, so she's running down the stairs and runs into Elamere.
Yes.
And,
she's super annoying.
Well, lovingly annoying. Excuse me. Because Elamere apparently has been trying to set her up with, like, social events, and Liriel's just like, please, no.
Yeah, we already saw this, dealing with Sam in a previous book.
Mm-hmm. She's a human pep rally.
Yes. The den mother, I would, yeah.
Yeah. So she runs into Elamere, and Elamere's like, oh, where are you going? She's like, oh, I got this crazy message about a free magic creature south of the wall. And Elamere's like, that's not possible that far south of the wall. Also, is it a trap set by certain political people in Anselstier to murder the Abhorsen? Just a thought, maybe. And Lyra's like, oh, yeah, that's a really fucking good point. I hadn't thought of that.
I was going to rush into
oops.
Whoops-a-doodle.
She's like, show me the message. Oh, that's strange.
That shouldn't be happening.
I don't know. She's like, well, I think it's also worth pointing out that it's Nick sending the message. She's like, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Nick had a shard of the Destroyer in him for a long time. So he's like kind of just as much free magic as he is charter magic, or at least the charter magic is keeping the free magic contained.
Yeah.
And Elmer's like, what? Does mother know?
What?
And she's like, yeah, my sister does know. And it wasn't her call where he wanted to go. He didn't want to come north. He wanted to go south. And Sabriel's like, well, we can't just keep him because that would be a political abduction and would not do well
relationships.
Two countries talk to each other. Diplomacy,
yeah.
Nah, it would be a diplomatic nightmare. So Nick fucked off down to South and Celestia.
Yep. And we're keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. And so she's like, yeah, it's kind of weird. And Elamir's like, huh, that is weird. You should go. Are you packed? Do you have all your shit? Okay, you're gonna need some guards when you get down to the last outpost. You can just cross the border. You don't want to cross the border by yourself. You want some guards with you. And I have to call the embassy in Anselstier to make sure that there's people who can meet you on the other side with guns. Because it's this is a political. You're now going to be a political envoy to Anselstier. You can't just like walk in there, like it's a demilitarized zone, so there's paperwork I gotta do, but I'm gonna get right fucking on it. And there's a great line that says Liriel started to feel like a horse who had convinced another horse to bolt from the stable and now realized she couldn't keep up.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's a great metaphor.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor.
And Elamir's like, sweet, a mission. Go get ready. I'll meet you at the paper wing hangar in 30 minutes.
Cool.
Awesome. And then to Elamir, Clairil's like, what are you doing up in the message hog? She's like, oh, just, regular stuff. There's something with the nomads at the Greenwash Bridge. It's all routine.
Sounds like nothing.
And then in my opinion, the entire chapter is derailed by one sentence.
I know which one you're talking about.
But it was not routine with the nomads.
But she couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, I was just like, wow.
Weird.
that's weird. I hope this isn't a sign of things to come.
Agreed. Yeah.
I have read this book. I just read it once, and it was a long time ago. So sure. This will effectively be me reading it for the first time with a critical eye.
More or less, yeah.
And the first time remembering large swaths of it. Yeah. I'm generally not a fan of that writing style when it's like, but it wasn't all as it seemed. It's like, well, we can get that by reading the story.
It's very unsolved mysteries. Like,
yeah. Anyway, yeah. Okay. End of chapter 2.
Yes, indeed.
What did we learn about the world in this chapter, Zach?
We got a lot of lore about Message Hawks.
We got a lot of, would you say we got some...
I don't know. Right on the tip of my tongue.
World building!
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow, look at that waveform. It's yeah. Just a straight fucking line.
This has a block.
Yeah. Anyway, you're welcome, audience.
Probably should have turned you down for that, but meh, fuck it. I'll do it. I'll do it in post.
I'm used to rejection.
Turn your mic off.
So we learn about Message Hawks, yeah. Which is cool. We learn about the reformation of King Touchstone a little bit.
Yeah. How the Abhorsen waiting have to always be on the ready and mm-hmm. be ready for action, which I like that little detail.
Yeah. I like the detail where Elamir is like, oh, aren't you, why are you standing here? Why are you going and getting ready? She's like, well, I'm talking to you and then I'm getting ready. She's like, you're fun, you're easy to rile up. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah. It's endearing. Yeah.
It is endearing. But yeah.
Yeah, beyond that, we're kicking off our adventure, so. Yeah.
A lot of the detail in this chapter was things like Lyriel, who lived most of her life in the glacier and had a dog that was her only friend because she was sad and lonely, and Elamir, who is the daughter of Abhorsen Sabriel and who has a brother, Sameth, who is also a wall maker.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of catch up
because there wasn't any of that in the last book.
No. None of fries for that catch up.
No. Though, you know, maybe... You know what's really good fry dipping sauce? Is half tartar sauce, half barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's pretty fucking bomb.
I'm a big honey mustard guy.
And I took a swing at him. What was that?
Guy offered me honey mustard and I almost took a swing at him. Long story short, I got a good deal on Classic Yellow.
Classic Yellow. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and we get more talk of how... In mourning, Lyriel is about Dee Dee. And
also how everyone loves her so much because she saved the world from the destroyer that everyone's like, please take this baby. And she's like, no, I'm full.
I couldn't possibly eat more.
Yeah, she tried to go out in disguise, but everyone's just like, hey, you're that Lyriel girl. You'd save the world from the destroyer. Here.
Hey, you got a glowing hand. Neat.
So she wore gloves, but there's a strong family resemblance. Mm. Maybe she should put on a glamour and go out.
Who is the time?
Yeah, she's ask Sam. Sam knows how to make a fucking glamour. Be like, Sam, disguise me.
Sam, give me your shitty traveler's outfit.
Make me blonde. Make me look like I'm a Claire. No one will think I'm Lyriel. Ouch.
Ow.
Oh, the rare self-burn.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of this chapter on a scale of 1 to 7? Not to rush. Yeah. I feel like we're kind of done with that.
Yeah. I think we pretty
Zach,
much covered it.
What do you give this chapter on a scale of 1 to 7?
On a scale of 1 to 7, I give this chapter a 6 out of 7.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that. It's nice to be back with these characters that we've been through so much with, and their interactions with each other, they fit. Well, like, Elamir's being herself, and so is Lyriel, and I like their little interaction as much as grating as I find Elamir.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's her thing, so you can't be too mad about that.
This is true. And, you know, even with grating people, they have moments of endearing.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you need a grating person.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want to handle all that logistical shit.
No. Some people are just better at that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, she's a good diplomat, so.
Yes.
You need those type of people.
yeah, that's...
Yeah. So I was just saying, I like this one. I think it's setting us up well for our adventure to come.
Yeah, I agree. What was I going to talk about? Child labor and Roblox. Yeah. You know Roblox? It's like the largest platform for children.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds familiar, but I've never had any interaction with it.
It's basically a video gaming platform where you can code in its own proprietary coding language and build games within the platform.
Yes, I am. I have... Not familiar with it, but I know of it.
Yeah. Basically, it is marketed towards children predominantly.
Sure.
And you can code in it to build games for this platform. And if you want to, you can pay, like you can essentially tip a game a certain amount of money.
And if that
game gets enough money, then it's like promoted or like... made official somehow or something.
It's made available for other people to download it and play it.
Yes, and if you make if they send you enough money, then the person who makes that game gets some of that money,
some percentage of it.
But most of the people making games on this platform are children.
Yep,
and predators who prey on children.
Right.
I listened to this article or this piece on it. I don't remember who it was from, but they interviewed this 8-year-old child who's in it. He's like, yeah, I like playing this platform and there's all these different things you can do. He sounds like an 8-year-old. And then he starts using like tech lingo. And he's like, yeah, this game has a lot of exploits, blah, blah, blah. And there's like this whole gaming platform within Roblox is very scammy. So you have to be very careful. And also like adults will try to get information about you. And the dad is right there. And he's like, how do you mean? It's like, yeah, they'll want your actual name or like where you live or that sort of thing.
Right.
And he's like, how do you know they're adults? He's like, they type really fast. And I was like, wow, this 8-year-old is like, not only can he identify adults, but he's also like trying to express all the different ways that he has to protect himself just in behavior on this platform to ward him, protect himself against predators.
That's wild. Yeah.
Because the platform has open chat.
Right.
On a platform for children, which is crazy.
Yeah. There was a scandal back in the 2000s with like Neopets or that type of stuff. Any platform that is for children is going to attract a certain type of person that wants to also interact with children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, why the chat system? Why can you just chat with people? That makes no sense. Yeah. You should have a limited number of like phrases you can say.
Right.
Or like, yeah, it's. Anyway, but
no, that's wild.
The child labor part is that Roblox makes billions of dollars
off of.
Do you know how they make that billions of dollars?
Child labor.
Child labor makes the games on the platform.
Right.
So they have basically supplied the platform, and then the children produce almost all of the content.
Right.
If someone likes that content, they can pay money towards it,
But all that money isn't going to the creator. It's going to the company.
70% of every dollar
exactly.
spent goes to Roblox. 30% goes to the creator. Once they hit $1,000 spent on the game, then that's when the threshold happens where the creator gets...
More money.
Gets any of the money. Like, that's the threshold.
Okay.
So people have to spend $1,000 on a game... To get the creator a cut, which would be $350.
Right.
Roughly. Now, when they want to cash out that $350, they get one third of that.
Wow, that's fucked.
Yeah. So not only does Roblox double dip, but the payout is 1%.
Jesus Christ. That's
children.
Fucking, yeah. Well, that's fucking awful.
Yeah, they've even started outsourcing the labor for coding to Fiverr.
Fiverr is a better
economic platform that children are outsourcing labor for Roblox coding on Fiverr so they can actually see some of the profit from their labor.
I was going to fucking make a Fiverr joke.
Yeah.
But no, it's the real thing.
It truly is a race to the bottom.
God damn it. Everything's awful.
Anyway.
Wow. That's
this
fucked.
Doesn't really have much to do with, oh, right, 7-year-old message hawk assistant.
Right. That's how we got here.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for bullshit today.
I'd say so.
You hit us up on the socials, on the email that we said at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you again to Charlotte, Maya, Patrick, William, Sam, Lindsay, Anna Lizette, and Allie, and all of our other patrons for your continued support.
Yes, we very much appreciate you. And if you want to cast your vote on how we're going to possibly change format up, hit us up on email or Instagram. Those are pretty much the only, or Patreon too. I forgot.
It's not, we're not going to change the format up for another, I don't know, 9 months, however long it takes to get through Golden Hand.
We usually average about 9 months per book, but this one's a little longer, so I'm probably anticipating we're going to take a break for the holidays, so probably going to be around 10 months if I had to guess.
Let's
maybe 11.
Good, let's just assume it'll be next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got in the tank.
I can't think of anything else.
Sweet. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. And we're back.
Seriously, please edit that out.
No, I'm going to leave the whole fucking silence in.
No, please. No. It's bad radio.
No, we have to pay for that. I'm not putting that up there.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is? I just want a picture of a goddamn hot dog.
Guy asked me if I wanted honey mustard, and I almost took a swing at him. Long story short, I got a good deal on classic yellow.
But, Dad, what do we do if someone wants their steak well done?
We ask them firmly but politely to leave.
And that's been King of the Hill Corner.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting happening in my life.
No. I found out about a new pro wrestling company.
Oh, yeah?
Vietnam Pro Wrestling. It's the Vietnam's only pro wrestling company.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're actually pretty sweet. I checked some of their stuff on the old YouTube. So nice. I know we have a few listeners in Vietnam. Go check them out. They're pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I started playing a phone game.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah. This is my first experience with idle games.
What are idle games?
Idle games are games in which you try to achieve some sort of goal. It can be either like Plague Inc. is one of those idle games, where you try to achieve a goal, but in order to do things, you have to accrue a certain number of points,
sure,
for lack of a better term. I'll just call them like in-game currency. And you do that by just kind of letting the app run in the background. It sort of accrues stuff, and then you spend that currency to like get to checkpoints.
Okay, I played a few of those. Like Simpsons had one.
Oh, okay.
Or Simpsons Tapped Out. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. The one I'm playing is called Cell to Singularity.
Cell to Singularity.
Where you start with the sun, and then you accrue points, and you get the earth, and then the moon, and then you get amino acids. And you basically build the entire web of life over time. Then you get to humans, and then you advance them through. And then, like, once you get to humans,
the world blows up.
Well, kind of. So you use entropy points, which are, like, the main currency in the main thread. And then once you hit humans, you get idea points, which are separate in a separate bank. And to advance humanity, you spend idea points. And for each stage you get, they accrue points at a faster rate, blah, blah, blah. And then you get all the way to the singularity, which is where the human body has become obsolete. And then that, I'm just there, like I've just reached the singularity, but apparently once you hit that check mark, it like redoes your entire game and like opens up whole new areas of the game.
Interesting.
But I've been wanting to try and like fill out other branches first. There's also a dinosaur side track where you like you go through these extinction cycles and like collect these little dinosaurs and they churn fossil points. And then every after every like level you level up these dinosaurs, you get mutagen points, which you then trade in for these cards that you attach to the dinosaurs that are like modifiers, like they accrue currency at 2x the rate or 4x the rate or whatever.
Almost like Pokemon or something like that.
Yeah. And then there's also a solar system sidetrack where you're like building out the solar system and each planet, its orbit, quote unquote, like generates a certain number of stardust points. And,
I mean, I can't say shit. I play some of the dumbest fucking games on Earth. Yeah, so.
Except, so this one, each of the things, like each of the like the planets that you quote unquote buy or you get access to, there's a little blurb on it. So it like kind of gives you a basic rundown of whatever it is.
Sure, sure.
But also that is true in the main simulation where every single little modifier has a blurb. So you're like, it's an interesting, like you can actually learn about how species cool. branch off and how they like traits, how traits are related to each other.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And then they do weekly promotions.
Gotta have that.
And the one right now is the deep sea. So you start at the surface of the ocean and you collect these different modifiers. And when you collect points, you go a level deeper and a level deeper and a level deeper. And it has information on like the nutrient cycle from this top of the from the ocean surface to the deep ocean and back sure. up again.
Because there's like five different levels of in our Earth's oceans, I believe, something like that.
Yeah, in the game they call it like the daylight zone, the twilight zone, the midnight zone, the abyss, that's the trenches. You know?
Yeah, that's basically what it's kind of called.
Yeah, but like you go down each level, and then after every like certain number of levels, the order of magnitude of the points like increases because you accrue a faster and faster rate.
Sure.
So I am now at in the septillion range. So it starts with individual points of the amino acid level, and right. now I'm at like, you know, four. Like, oh, this little modifier takes 28 septillion nutrient points. For the ocean one. But yeah.
Jesus.
And then the next two promotions are one on the James Webb Space Telescope.
Sure.
And then one on the history of tea.
Yeah.
So okay. they're like, you're getting at least a little bit of knowledge
a
out
modicum
of it.
Of, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, quite fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying your time.
Yeah. I've seen the same ads so many times because it's ad supported. So if you want to like double the points you accrue idly, you watch an ad, and some of them are just fucking cancer.
Yeah, no, they're all awful. I mean, mobile phone ads are some of the worst ads on the planet. Maybe only second to porn ads.
Yeah, some porn ads are funny. Like really, right in front of my salad, or what was it? Right in front of my
salad. Yeah,
yeah.
We talked about it on the pod.
Yeah. Well, was it a specific type of salad?
I don't remember.
Really, in front of my goopy carbonara.
Egg yolky.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's fun, I guess. Yeah. You're not sponsored by Celta Singularity or any other idle game
or anything.
Except for you, lovely listeners. Anyway, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Okay.
The Seven Bells Podcast is brought to you by the So What Did You Learn Network. If you like what you heard, please rate and review our content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you rate fine podcasts on the internet. And please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/7bellspodcast. Thanks. We love you.